We're up to Yeshaya Perek Chof. Ashur had exiled the 10 tribes. That happened earlier. Now there was Yehud and Binyamin, there was Yerushalayim. And Ashur came back. Bishnas bo Sarton Ashdoda. There was a general Sarton who came to Ashdod. Ashdod was one of the cities of the Plishtim. Bishloach also Sargon Melech Ashur. Sargon, who was the king of Ashur, and Chazal say Sargon was a name for Sancheiriv. So Sancheiriv came now, he was the mighty king of the Syrian Empire who had conquered the world, except for Yerushalayim, and this is still, he's in the process of conquering. And Sargon, the king of Ashur, Sancheiriv, had sent his general, Sarton. He sent him to Ashdod, Vayilochem ba'Ashdod, and he fought against Ashdod, Vayilkedoh, and he conquered it. Now, at this point, the Plishtim were in the city of Ashdod, and Ashdod was a fortified city. Vayilkedoh, he conquered it. Seems to be there was a struggle, there was a fight, and he conquered the city. But it was a fortified city. And the people in Yehuda and Binyamin in the kingdom had already had an experience that Ashur carried away the whole northern kingdom, took away the 10 tribes. And now he came back and he conquered Ashdod. And he didn't even do it, it wasn't the king himself had to come. He sent a general, he sent Sarton, and the general was able to conquer this fortified Plishti city. So the people in Eretz Yisrael had a tremendous fear. Ashdod was near Eretz Yisrael. We all know that's right now it's on the coast, but that was this, under the control of the Plishtim, but it was right near the Jewish territory. It's right bordering Eretz Yisrael. And now Ashur was back. Ashur was back conquering the city. Bo'esahi. At that time, Dibur Hashem biyad Yeshayo ben Amoz. Hashem spoke through Yeshaya ben Amoz. He said a nevuah through Yeshaya. Lemor saying, Leich go ufi tachto hasak me'al mosnecho. There are a number of different explanations. The simple explanation is, ufi tachto hasak, take off your sackcloth. Like we say in davening, Pitachta saki vatazreini simcha. Somebody puts on sackcloth, which is made from goat's hair. It's a rough material. And it's a sign of expressing and feeling his suffering and making a manifestation of what he's going through. And all of a sudden, pitachta saki, you take off the sackcloth. You're no longer suffering. You're not in mourning. Things are good. Vatazreini simcha. And you feel as if you're girded. You're surrounded with joy. You're not wrapped up in sackcloth, you're wrapped up in simcha. Pitachto hasak, the simple meaning would be, Yeshaya HaNavi was wearing sackcloth, and now he was told to take it off. Ufitachto hasak me'al mosnecha, that he was wearing sackcloth around his waist, and he's now taking it off. V'nalcha sachalots, and you should take off your shoe, me'al raglecha, from your foot. Vayas Cain and Yeshaya did that. Holoch Orom V'yochef. He was walking naked and barefoot. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. It seems as if Yeshaya was given a nevuah that he should walk around undressed. And we're going to come back to this, but just to see the idea in the next pasuk. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Kasher Holoch Avdi Yeshayahu Orom V'yochef. Just like my servant, Yeshaya, walked around naked and barefoot, Shaloshanim, 3 years, Osumofes, a sign and a wonder, Al Mitzrayim Valkush, what's going to happen to the country of Egypt and the country of Kush. This is a sign of what's going to happen to these countries. Going back to Pasuk Beis, Bo'esa hi dibir Hashem. Hashem spoke. This is not a chazon, this is not a vision of the distant future, like Yeshaya says in Nevuah, chazon Yeshayo v'enomotz. This is, he's going to put it into effect right now. The word of Hashem comes, biyad, in the hand of Yeshayo v'enomotz. The term yad means there's a force, there's a pressure. The yad Hashem is a Nevuah that's given, it's something that's going to be difficult. So Yeshaya is now being given a very difficult task. And he's told, Leichu fitachto hasak me'al mosnecho. And if the simple meaning is that Yeshaya is to go undressed and walk barefoot, we would understand why in the next Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Kasher holach avdi Yeshayahu, as my servant Yeshayahu went Arom v'yochef. Avdi is a very special term. Eved Hashem. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, there were other tzaddikim who use that term. Altira Avdi Yaakov. Avram, you find, is called an Eved in the Nevi'im. But Avdi Yeshayahu, when somebody goes and he does something that seems so strange and so difficult, and so humiliating, but that's the nevuah. He's now earns that term, Kasher Holach Avdi Yeshayo, as my servant Yeshayo, when Arum v'yochef. But there are a number of ways of understanding these psukim. Let's start off with the Radak. The Radak says, Hadover Hazeh Ein Lefarsho Kimashmo. This pasuk can't mean literally. Can you imagine the Gadol Hador, however you could envision the greatest tzaddik, whatever we could envision, Yeshayo is much greater than that. Can you imagine he's walking around Arum V'yochef undressed? Shetziva Akel Es Hanavi Sheelich Arum V'yochef Chalila. You know that term Chalila, Chas V'shalom. It can't be. And at this point, the Radak takes the opportunity to explain other nevuahs that also seem very strange. There was one of the Nevi'im. He's the first one of the Trei Asar, the 12 smaller prophecies, Hosea. And when you read the psukim at the beginning of Hosea, he's told, Kach lecha eshes zenunim. Take a woman who's involved in zenus, like a prostitute, a loose woman who lives with whoever. And Hosea is told to marry such a wife. That's the simple reading of the Pesukim. Or Yecheskel's told, V'havarta al-Rosh, he should shave off all of his hair and his beard. You know, cut off all of his hair, V'havarta al-Rosh, V'al-Zekonecha, Tar. Or he was told to eat a cake of food that was roasted over dung. You know, they use dung as fuel sometimes. If you look through Yecheskel, there's a number of nevuahs that seem also very strange. The Radak says you should know a rule whenever you see these types of things. V'chol elu v'hadoimim lahem einam devorim sheyitzava hakel in neviyov lasosam. These are not things that the Novi actually had to do. The Radak says this was not actually done. It was all b'mare ha-nevuah. He saw a vision of a nevuah as if he's shown this prophetic sight that Hashem is showing him this is what he's doing, and this is what he should do. And in the Nevuah, Yeshaya was told he should go Arom v'yochef, naked and barefoot, and in his dream he imagined himself walking around without clothing, and people were probably wondering, what are you doing? And he said, I am here representing Cush and Mitzrayim, who are going to be going into exile, who are going to be walking barefoot and naked. And even though sometimes it seems that it went on for a number of times, like the psukim here say shalosh shanim, there were 3 years. And there are those who learn the pasuk that for 3 years Yeshayo went around like this. I don't know if he did it every day, or when there were crowds of people, or once in a while, but over a 3 year span he was doing this. But you should know that this is all in a nevuah. like it says by Hosea, he's supposed to marry this Esha Zenunim, this loose woman, and it says she became expected, she became pregnant, and then she had a child. But this was all in the Nevuah. In a dream, a guy can fly hundreds and thousands of years in a few minutes. But here in this Nevuah, he envisioned everything happening. That's the way the Radak explains. The Malbim explains that no, it literally happened. V'tziva sheyosir sako, that Yeshaya was told to remove his sackcloth and to remove his shoes. And he went Aron v'yochef. And the Malbim says, lo halach kein rak yom echad osho kitana v'veso. No, if he was told to do it, he obviously did it. But it doesn't say in the Pesukim he had to go around in the streets. He did it in his room, in his private house, took off his clothes for a short time, maybe a day, whatever, but he was in his private house, and he walked around without clothes for a short time, and he walked around barefoot. To understand what's happening at this point, the 10 tribes had been exiled, and the city of Ashdod was now sent, and the king of Asher sent his general, and with the general they captured the city. And the people in Yehuda and Binyamin were under a panic. And a lot of them were fleeing or planning to flee to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, to Tekush, and Africa. And they were looking for where they could get away from Ashur. Where could they get away from Assyria? Because they know their brethren were taken away in exile. They were planning where to escape. And other Mephorshim learn, not that they were looking to escape, but they were planning on Mitzrayim and Cush helping them out. They had alliances, they had treaties. The world threat at that time was Ashur, was Assyria, and these other countries they figured would help them out. What Yeshaya is doing is, he's showing that don't rely on Cush and on Mitzrayim, but they're going to be destroyed themselves. And here the Malbim again explains a point that we've touched on before. Uchvar be'yarti b'mokom acher, b'mokomos acherim, that when Hashem says a nevuah about something bad happening, it's possible that that will not come to reality. Because ki rachum v'chanun Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful and kind, and if people improve their deeds, Hashem might say they deserve destruction, and if they improve, it won't be destroyed. And the witness is the Nevuah of Yonah, that we lay on Yom Kippur with Nineveh. Odar boim yom v'Nineveh ne'apoches. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. And they did tshuva, and they weren't destroyed. So if the Navi comes and he says that there's going to be a punishment, and it doesn't happen, that shouldn't be any proof that the Navi's wrong. It just means that the people deserve the reprieve, or they're forgiven, and the punishment won't happen. And this is also, Yirmiah spoke to Hananiah ben Azur. This point is brought up in Sefer Yirmiah, Perek Chof Ches, where Yirmiah told the Navi, if you say that something bad is going to happen and it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean the Navi is false. But if you promise something good and it doesn't happen, that's a false Navi. If Hashem says he's going to do something good, that's going to happen. But let's focus again on when something bad is supposed to happen. If Hashem says that there'll be a punishment, sometimes it won't come to a reality. But the Malbim says, Kol shechazak Hashem es divrei ha-Navi. If Hashem strengthened those words of the Navi, but ma'ashetziva lo lasos ma'ase bepoyel, that he does an actual action, Oz hadover muchruch sheyovo, then it's definitely going to happen. If it's just talk, and Hashem says to the Navi something bad is going to happen, maybe it won't. But if there's an action done with it, it's almost as if the action makes it reality. Obviously the reaction is just foreshadowing, and it's just a portend of what's going to be. But once an action is done, it's already become a fact. And then the punishment will definitely occur. V'kolshkein in the Malbim says, certainly, im hoya ha'poel ahu dover zor. if it's a strange thing that's mafli like a wonder, it's mafli oznei hashomim, that the people who hear about it, veini aroim, and the people see it, realize it's something bizarre and strange, that becomes a greater reality. It's a clear indication, what's going on here? It's not normal. And it has to be showing something else going to happen. Because the way we look at it doesn't make sense. It's strange. And the stranger it is, the stronger the effect that this action has. What Yishai is doing is, as it says in Pasuk Gimel, Shaloshanim, Osu Mofes, 3 years, there's a sign, and Os means if you do something, that'll be a sign of something that's supposed to happen. A Mofes is a wonder. Walking barefoot might be a sign. The same way he's walking barefoot, they're going to walk barefoot. And walking without any clothing, it's a wonder. People look at it, it's the strangest thing. How can you imagine a tzaddik? What's going on here? Yeshayo, a Novi's walking around like this. That already makes it a reality. It becomes a wonder. And not just a sign of what will be, but it's a wondrous occurrence. And therefore, the punishment that Mitzrayim and Kush are going to go into, are going to be exiled and taken into captivity, that's already become a reality. That will be a fact. So those Jews that are trembling and they don't know what to do, they're living in Eretz Yisrael and they feel that Ashur is right on their border. They can't rely on Kush, they can't rely on Mitzrayim not to run over there, to flee, not to go over there. They rely on them for help, because Kush and Mitzrayim will be of no assistance. Lechu fitachto hasak. Go and take off that sackcloth, me'almos necha, from around your waist. V'na'olchoch tzachalotz, and take off your shoe, me'al raglecha, from your foot. This is going to be a sign that these nations are going to be exiled. And if somebody goes into exile, very often he doesn't have two shoes. They leave there, they're just dragged away by the enemy. V'na'olcho means your shoe. Not v'na'olecha, your shoes. Your shoes, but in the singular. Like, you have one shoe, take your shoe off, me'al raglecha. Without the yud, it means your foot. Take it off of your foot. You might only have one shoe on. He's going into exile. But he takes off the shoe, he takes off his clothing as a sign that these nations will be going into exile. Rashi says, a different pshat, that ufitachta actually means to put on sackcloth. To put on sackcloth. It comes from the word like pituche chosam, you have in the Torah, when they did engraving on the choshen, on the kelim used in the Mishkan, they were engraved. Pituche means to engrave. Pituche chosam. Ufitachto hasak means put on the sackcloth over your waist and make it tight, that people should see it leaves a mark on the skin when you're wearing a tight garment. That's what Rashi brings from the Targum. And Rashi says the truth is that pshat is not difficult, but Rashi says that's the simple meaning. V'hadavarim ochichim, Rashi says, it's proven that this is the meaning. Sharei ad achshav lo tzivo lach korsak. Where does it say Yeshaya was wearing sackcloth? You look through the previous prokim, you don't find anywhere he was told to put on sackcloth. I would assume he's wearing normal clothing. Ufitachto asak would mean he should put on this rough clothing. But not that he was wearing it before. And he's told to take off his shoe, which is a sign of avelus, a sign of mourning. That there's going to, he's showing how these countries are going to be mourning and going to be suffering. So he's putting on the sackcloth and he's taking off his shoe. That's the way Rashi explains. And the last pshat, on this ufitachto hasak, I would mention is the pshat of the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel says that he wore, saw this brought down in the Me'am Lois, that he was literally walking naked, unclothed, And it's an embarrassment, and it's a humiliation, a disgrace. But his disgrace is the kavod shamayim. It's the honor of Hashem. Because anyone who saw this and asked what he's doing, he was telling him that these countries, Kush and Mitzrayim, that everyone's relying on, and everyone feels will be able to save them, these nations are going to go into exile. And then it happens. And people realize, sure, this must have been the news around the world. Yeshaya HaNavi is walking around like this. And he used the words, Ein zeh davar pashut. The Avraham Avinu says, this is not a simple matter, lizkos harabim, to bring merit to the rabim, ulahachzirim el ha'emes, and to bring people back to the truth. To make people be aware of the truth is not a simple matter. Uchedayu sheyelech Yeshayo HaNavi, yomim v'shonim. It's worthy that he should go for days and for years, arum v'yochev, naked and barefoot, v'zehu lo l'kovod l'siferes. And that for him is an honor and a glory that he is the one who's going to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's foretelling what will be. So however we learn the pshat here, I say whether he's putting on the sackcloth like Rashi, or whether he's taking it off like the other Mefarshim, and they would learn he was wearing the sackcloth either because he was showing the suffering and the mourning of what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. The 10 tribes were exiled. And he was wearing sackcloth perhaps before. And now he's told to take it off because now he's going to make a reality of a different matter. The exile of Kush and Mitzrayim. So again, from Pasuk Beis, Ve'esa he at that time, Dibir Hashem, Hashem spoke, V'yav Yeshayo ben Amotz, through Yeshayo ben Amotz. This is a difficult nevuah. Lamor saying, Lech go. The simple meaning would be to go out. When people see you, although maybe it does mean to go around in his house. But Lech go, Ufitachto hasak. And either put on the sackcloth, take off the sackcloth, may almost necha from around your waist. V'nal chasachalotz, and your shoe you should take off. May al raglecha from your foot. Vayas kain, and Yeshayo HaNavi did that. Holoch, he was going. Orom v'yochef, naked and barefoot, he was going this way. And some learn he was going this way for 3 years, which we'll see, Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, it doesn't say who he said it to. Perhaps there were other Nevi'im who told over what Hashem said, or Yeshayo HaNavi himself said, Kasher Holach Avdi Yeshayo. Yeshayo would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as my servant, referring to himself, as my servant Yeshayahu went, or other prophets said, the word of Hashem is, just as Yeshayahu Avdi, my servant, went ahead and he showed how he's just living to bring and to show the word of Hashem. As he went Arum v'yochef, naked and barefoot, Shaloshanim, it could be he did this for 3 years, or it could be he's doing it now for a short time. But Shaloshanim, in 3 years, Os, you'll know this is a sign, Umofes, and it's a wonder. Al Mitzrayim v'al Kush, about the nations of Mitzrayim and Kush. Because Kain Yinhag Melech Ashur, because so in such a manner will the king of Ashur lead away as Shevi Mitzrayim, the captives of Mitzrayim, Veskolush Kush, and the exile of Kush. Kush, the country will be exiled. Mitzrayim, they won't be exiled, but they'll be captives. It seems to be, in other words, the bulk of the nation will remain where they are. They'll be captives. They'll be Shvi. While Kush is totally exiled. And they'll be taken to Orim, both the young ones, Uzakenim and the old ones, Orom v'yochef, naked and barefoot, v'chasufai sheis. the word chasufai means to uncover, like machsof halovon. It says by Yaakov when he peeled the sticks of wood so that the animals would see the different colors on the sticks where the bark was peeled off, and they would have offspring that was spotted. Machsof means to peel off, to reveal. Vachasufai sheis. And they'll be revealed. Sheis means their buttocks, their rear. Ervas Mitzrayim. The nakedness, the erva, is the private parts of the body. The erva of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a land that was an immoral land. So whenever it deals with something like erva, the nakedness, it refers to Mitzrayim. But the truth is, we all know when you see the pictures of the way the slaves were used to be sold on the block, you know, maybe they had a little bit of cloth to cover part of their body, but it was basically v'chasufai sheis. That's the way the captives were taken, with their exposed buttocks, the ervas Mitzrayim, the nakedness of Mitzrayim. This term you don't find by Yeshayahu. Again, could be, there are other Mefarshim who in general say, when it says that he's going Arum, he's putting on a sackcloth, according to Rashi, that he's putting on a sackcloth. Arum, naked, just means he's lacking his proper clothing. It doesn't mean literally he's not wearing anything. According to Rashi, he just put on a sackcloth. But Arum, in the Gemara seems to mention this pshat, Arum, and then Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudalid, that Arum just means he's naked, meaning he's wearing torn clothing and worn out clothing that are threadbare, so they're threadbare, they're torn, but not literally that he's Arum. But what Yeshaya did would show that these captives would go through this experience, and when they're taken into captivity, it means literally. They're Arum v'yochef, v'chasufai sheis, Ervas Mitzrayim. V'chatu vavoshu. And then they'll be devastated. They'll be broken. Chatu refers to physically. They'll be devastated. They'll feel that they can't rely on anyone. Kush and Mitzrayim are not an option. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chatu vavoshu. And they're going to be embarrassed. We were relying on these other nations. Mikush ma'abotam. They were looking toward Kush. That the land of Kush is going to help them. Umim Mitzrayim tifartam. And from Mitzrayim, that was their glory, their splendor, the great Mitzrayim. But now they're going to see Mitzrayim can't help them out either. Va'omar Yoshev ho'i hazeh. And those that live in this island, the land of Yehuda now is like an island surrounded with the armies of Ashur. And they're going to say by Yomahu on that day, Hine kom abotenu. So is what happened to the one we longed for. We were looking toward Kush. That's what we were counting on to escape to, or we were counting on Kush to help us out. And kom abotenu, this is what happened to Mabatenu, the one we look toward. Asher nasnu shom le'ezra, where we fled to help us out. The Kush that we fled to help us out. Lehinotzel, to be saved. Mipnei melech Ashur, because of the king of Ashur. So how are we going to escape now? They're going to realize they can't rely on any other nations to help them out. Rashi also points out, Chom, we know Noach's three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Chom was the one who saw the erva of his father, and he didn't cover it. Mida k'negen mida. Uvnei chom kush u'mitzrayim. And the Pasuk mentions two other nations, Put and Canaan. But Mitzrayim and Kush were the descendants of Chom. The time would come. They're getting a punishment. They're getting exiled for what they've done wrong. But the punishment is given mida k'negen mida. When Hashem has to choose a punishment, He says, you know, your nation had an ancestor, Chum, and he didn't care about the erva, the nakedness of Noach. He didn't care about his father's exposure. So therefore, the descendants, Cush and Mitzrayim, are going to go this way. And those who live in the Ha'i Hazeh, this island, meaning it could mean the island because they're living by the coast, they're living by the Mediterranean, or the island that they're surrounded by the enemies. And they're going to say, this is what happened to Cush and Mitzrayim, and how are we going to escape? This Nevuah happened, either it happened at the time, this perhaps happened at the time that Sancheiriv came to Yerushalayim, and when he initially came, he was going to capture Yerushalayim, and then he heard that the king of Cush was coming to attack, and he had to turn back to fight the other enemy. He didn't want to have two fronts, so he left Yerushalayim for the time being. He went to fight against Cush and the Mitzrayim, and then he returned. It could be it happened at this point. Or it could be the exile, the conquering of Ashdod, was not at the same time, but it happened 3 years earlier. 3 years earlier, this is in the times of Chizkiyo HaMelech, and the 14th year of Chizkiyo's reign, Tarton came and he conquered Ashdod. And 3 years later, the Nevuah would come true, that Sancheiriv would exile Mitzrayim and Cush, and then he would come with them to Yerushalayim, which is when he would have his downfall on the night of Pesach. That's Perek Chof, a Nevuah, what happened when Ashdod was conquered. Perek Chof Aleph. We're back to discussing Bavel. There were different Nevuahs about Bavel we had in the past. We had in the 13th Perek and the 14th Perek of Yeshaya. There were Nevuahs that were discussing how Bavel would be destroyed. It was the haughty nation. It was the one that terrorized the world. And everyone was afraid of, and they couldn't believe such a punishment would happen. We're once again going to discuss Bavel. But as we'll see, it's from a different aspect, without really discussing the suffering of Bavel, but discussing how they're initially conquered and destroyed. The Malbim sums up again historically what happened when Bavel was destroyed. And as he says it, what happened was as follows. Bavel had fought with Madai and Paras, with the Medes and the Persians. And Bavel conquered them. And then Belshazzar, who was the king at the time, he was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. There were only three kings in Bavel. We had Nebuchadnezzar, his son was Evil-Merodach, and the Evil-Merodach's son was Belshazzar. Belshazzar defeated Paras in Madai. And then he made a tremendous party. Belshazzar made a big feast and a party on the day he captured them. And that night, during the Mishta, during the banquet, during this whole celebration, we read about that in Daniel Perek Hei. He took out the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash. The Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash to celebrate, and they all drank from those Kalim. And then Ba'ashasa, at that time, Nofka Etzba'on Diyad Enosh, a hand, a human finger came out, the fingers of a human hand came out and wrote on the wall of the palace. And everybody was there, saw there was this writing on the wall, they didn't know what it meant. And they called Daniel. And Daniel told him what it means, that Bavel's going to be destroyed. That night, there was the servants of Belshazzar rebelled against him, and they killed him. That night, at the night of the party, they killed Belshazzar, and they sent a message to Paras and Madai, to the army that was in defeat. Turn around and come right back, because Belshazzar is killed. And Paras and Madai returned, and then they destroyed Bavel. And as we'll see, the following year, Bavel was, there was an upheaval, and Bavel was destroyed and became a wasteland. Before that, Bavel was one of the, as we've mentioned, Belshazzar's hanging gardens were one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was a beautiful country, and Bavel was the center of the world at that time. But Bavel was first captured by Paras and Madai, and then later on it was destroyed. The way the Das Sofrim understands, what's interesting is, at this party, when they saw the writing on the wall, Daniel told Belshazzar that Bavel's going to be destroyed. He said to him, Minei, Minei, it's been counted, Tekel, Ufarsin, it's been weighed on the scale, Uparsin, and your kingdom will be broken up. That's what the words meant. And he explained that it means Bavel will be destroyed. It says, Beidayin Omar Belshazzar. At that point, though, the words of Daniel are in Aramaic. It says, Beidayin Omar Belshazzar. At that time, Belshazzar said, V'albishu l'Daniel argavona. And they clothed Daniel in the royal purple, which was allowed only... The Ramban discusses it by the Big Day Kahuna, that purple was allowed only for the royalty. But they put on the royal clothing on Daniel, v'hamnicha didahava al tzavre, and they put a chain of gold on his neck, v'hachrizu aloi, and they proclaimed about him, dileheve shali talta b'malchusa, that he'd rule over one third of the kingdom. And that night Belshazzar was killed. So on one hand, it seems like Belshazzar was not as bad as certainly as the earlier kings. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, he didn't have such an end like this that was destroyed. His son took over. Evel Merodach took over. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits and he waits and he waits. He's an Erech HaPayim. And then, if a person is a complete tzaddik and he doesn't deserve a punishment, he won't get it. But if a person has some fault, he doesn't have the zechus of Erech HaPayim anymore. We all have faults and there are averus, but Hashem gives time. There's time allowed to correct, to do tshuva. But if the hourglass is running empty, and everything's, Hashem has waited and waited and waited, and it's still faults, then if the person doesn't deserve it, Hashem no longer gives Erech HaPayim. So the Das Sofrim explains that we'll see. Now we're going to look at the destruction of Bavel, but the Novi's going to be upset. Previously in Perek Yud Gimel and Perek Yud Dalet, it was almost as if we were happy that finally Bavel got destroyed and the world can now relax and take a sigh of relief. And the trees will sing out that they're not going to be cut down anymore by Nebuchadnezzar's army. And the whole world is happy that Bavel has its demise. Now we're going to look at it in terms of, true, Bavel's finally getting its punishment, but the Navi is upset with it and finds it difficult. Masa Midbar Yom. And it could be again because Belshazzar really wasn't as bad as his ancestors. He took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he showed this lack of awe for the Beis HaMikdash. He got his punishment, but he wasn't as bad as the previous ones. Masa Midbar Yom. This is a nevuah Midbar Yom of the desert Yom on the west. The Midbar Yom, the desert on the west, because Paras and Modai were northeast of Bavel. Bavel's to the west. This is a nevuah that they're going to attack the country on the west, which is Bavel. Kisufos ba-negev lachalof. Like a storm wind. Kisufos, like a storm wind. Ba-negev, in the desert. Lachalof, and the army's just passing through. Like the storm wind going through the land. Mi midbar ba. He's coming from the wilderness, Me'eretz no ra'ah, from a fearful land. Like the Torah refers to Midbar Hagadol v'hanoira, Nachash, Sarav, v'akrav. It's the wilderness where you got scorpions and snakes and all types of harmful creatures. It's a place where it's a danger to walk. And from that desert, Paras and Mode are going to turn back and they're going to come to Bavel. One of the things that got me initially interested in learning Bavel is I remember Rav Belsky, my Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Belsky, was mentioning, I don't remember anymore which war it was, under George Bush when they attacked Iraq. You know what the name of the operation was? If I tell you the operation, you might know which war it was. But they called it Operation Desert Storm. And they all gathered, there was a coalition forces to destroy Bavel. Obviously, looking at it now, it seems like it didn't happen. But again, we're looking with a limited time vision. It's hard to know. And it's hard to know. The Nevuahs simply are talking about things that happened in the past. But to really understand all the things that are included in the prophecy, we won't know till the end of time. And I remember my Rebbe was telling me, everyone's talking about the news, and he says, oh, it says in Yeshaya, Kisufos Banegev. That's the desert storm. Kisufos is the storm wind. Banegev in the desert and the dry land. That's the name of the prophecy coming to destroy Bavel, coming to destroy Iraq. The Navi calls it Operation Desert Storm. So you never know what it's... And as we've seen before, some of the Nevuahs of Bavel seem could be are happening with Iraq. But again, we're going to learn the Pasuk. Pasuk, it's referring to what happened under Paras and Madai. Masa Midbar Yom. A Nevuah concerning the wilderness of the West. Kisufos Banegev Lachlof. Like the storm wind coming through the desert. Lachlof, and it's just passing through. And so too, there's going to be armies coming through Bavel. Me Midbar boys, coming from the desert. Me Eretz Nora, from a fearful land. Chazus Kasha Hu Gadli. And now the Novi says, this is Chazus Kasha. This is a harsh vision. The Novi finds it difficult. Haboge Bogeid. The simple one meaning Haboge Bogeid is whoever wants to be a treacherous one. Bogeid is if you do somebody a favor, somebody you're relying on, and then he turns against you. That's Bogadnu. That's a Bogeid. Haboge Bogeid. The king Belshazzar is relying on his officers. And those who want to be treacherous, now's the time. Haboge Bogeid. The one that's treacherous is now going to be treacherous. The Novi sees it happening. Vashodeid Shodeid. And those that want to pillage and take from the land of Bavel, now's the time that they'll be Shodeid. Ali Elam. Come up, Elam. Suri Modai, the land of Modai, should lay siege. Kol Anchosa Hishpati. All of the sighs that have been caused in the world because of Bavel, Hishpati, have now caused an end to it. Haboge Bogeid. It could also mean Haboge Bavel, that was Bogeid and treacherous. And all the other nations thought Bavel wouldn't necessarily attack them and oppress them. And Bavel was backhanded and hurt so many nations. They're the Bogeid. And all of a sudden, Bogeid. Somebody else has Bogeid them. He finds his officers turn against him. Vahashodeid. Bavel, that pillaged so many other countries. All of a sudden, Shodeid. Somebody's pillaging him. Ali Elam. Elam, they sent the messages to Elam when they called back Paras and Modai. Ali Elam, come up Elam. Tsuri Modai. And Modai, lay siege. Kol Anchosa Hishpati. All of the sighs I've brought an end to. That no longer will the world be sighing from the suffering caused by Bavel. Al-Kain, therefore, Molu Mosnai Chalcholo, my loins are full of anguish. like trembling. Tsirim achazuni. I have pains. Kitsire oleda, like a woman giving birth and childbirth. Navesi mishmoa, I'm confounded from hearing. Nivhalti miraos, and I'm terrified. Miraos, from seeing this. It's as if the Navi seeing Bavel, the beautiful country, and all of a sudden, the way that Das Sofrim understands it, Belshazzar wasn't as bad as the others, but obviously he was deserved a punishment, and there was no longer in any Erech Apayim. And now it's happening. And he hears and he sees the bloodshed and the destruction and the enemy coming. And the Novi's taken aback that finally Bovel's getting its punishment. Ta Levavi, my heart is like disoriented. I don't know, it's like straying, it doesn't know where to turn. Palotzus biasosni, panic has terrorized me. I'm taking the translation from the art school. There's in Lashon HaKodesh, there's so many different words, and each one has its own meaning, but it's hard to find the right English expression. Es neshef chishki, that evening that I desired, the festive evening, the evening that was the banquet, that Belshazzar made the party, that the enemies destroyed. All of a sudden, some li, lacharodo, it's all of a sudden, Hashem turned it into a horror. All of a sudden, Paras HaMoedah came back and there's the destruction. Aruch HaShulchan, setting the table. Tzofo HaTzofis, lighting the menorah, the candelabrum. Ochol Shoso, eating and drinking. And all of a sudden, Kumu, get up, Hasarim, the officers. Mishchu Mogein, anoint the shield. Smear oil on the shields. When you go out to war, so the shields very often were made out of leather, out of skin. And in order that the arrow shouldn't pierce through the shield, they'd smear it with oil so the arrows would hit it and slide right off. It was a smooth surface. And also when they're at the party, and right before they went to battle, they'd have to smear this oil on the shields. And also the table's set, the lights are on, they're eating, drinking, and they have to get up and go immediately, Mishchu Mogein, and smear oil on the shields. The Malbim describes it as if somebody, very often when he's in the height of Simcha, when he's at his happiest time, and all of a sudden a tragedy happens, he becomes meshuga. He becomes crazy. And he becomes all disoriented. He doesn't know what's going on. I know somebody, Nebuch, I mean, he's no longer living, but he had gone through the Holocaust, and he saw his family. He was at the chuppah. And at the chuppah, like, his collar was killed. And after that, he reached the chuppah, and then he was killed. You know, he used to walk around wearing rubbers, you know, in the summer days without shoes, just rubbers on his feet. He just totally snapped, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. But when there's the greatest joy, and all of a sudden it becomes a tragedy, a person can't take that. And here he's, the way the Malbim explains, and other Mephorshim, Tzofo HaTzofis can mean the watchman. To look is Hartzofim is a lookout mountain. Tzofo HaTzofis means put up the watchman. It's like Aruch HaShulchan, the person is seeing that they're setting the table. Tzofo HaTzofis, and yet they're going to war. They're putting up the watchman. Ochov HaShasa, no, they are at the party. No, it's Kumu HaSarim. There's like the back and forth between, is this a party? Is it an emergency? Is it war? Is it festivity? Kumu HaSarim. Also, they're saying, get up the officers, Mishchu Mogein, and smear the oil on the shields. And that's what he means when we said in Pasuk Dalet, Ta Levavi, that his heart is disoriented. Palotzus Biasosni, we mentioned, that the panic has terrorized him. He doesn't know how to react to the snooze. Kicho Omar Eli Hashem, because so Hashem has said to me, Leich Hamed Hamitzapeh, go and set up the watchman. You Bovel think it's a party. Poros Hamadai were destroyed, and everything's good now. But Hashem is saying, no, Bovel better put up their watchmen, because they're going to be destroyed now. Asher Yira Yagid, let him tell over what he sees. And Rashi brings up Shat. Yeshaya HaNovi had a Talmud, Chavakuk. In fact, we all know the story that the Gemara mentions there was somebody, Choni Hamagol, that there was no rain. And the Gemara says in Tainus, he did like Chavakuk did. And he drew a circle around himself, and he said, I'm not leaving this circle until you bring rain. And now, obviously, a person has to be on that madrega that he gets results, you know. Otherwise, you can say that and nothing happens. But if you're somebody like Choni Hamagol, it brings a result. And that's what Chavakuk did. He says, Rashi says, Osir Echon mitalmidecha, one of your Talmidim, Yeshaya, is going to complain about my Midos. He's going to say, Hashem, Erech HaPayim, but how long? Bovel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I want to see Bovel should finally receive their retribution. And he draws a circle around himself. In Chavakuk Perek Beis, it says, Al Mishmarti Emoda, I'm standing by my watch. I want to stand here and see that they get their punishment. So now, the way Rashi explains, Ki Cho Amar Eli Hashem, Hashem said to me, to Yeshaya, Leich Hamed HaMetzapeh. The Metzapeh here is not the watchman of Bovel. It doesn't mean Bovel should have a watchman and look for the enemy. But Hashem says, I'm telling you this Nevuah, you can now tell your Talmud, stand up that Metzapeh, that Talmud who wants to look for the destruction of Bovel. There were many Nevuahs of destruction that happened to Klal Yisrael. But there was a Nevuah that after 70 years of Bovel would be the Geula. And Chavakuk is waiting. All the bad Nevuahs happened. What about the good ones? What about the 70 years for Bovel? So now, Leich Hamed HaMetzapeh, set up that watchman, Asher Yira Yagid, and let him tell over what he sees. He will see the destruction of Bovel, prophetically, as he wasn't. He'll see that this Nevuah is happening. V'roa Rechev, he'll see a chariot. Tzemed Paroshim, a pair of horsemen. Rechev Chamor, Rechev Gomol, a donkey chariot, a camel chariot. Some learn as it's the donkey and the camel represent Paras and Modai. Those two kingdoms were represented by this. And he'll see that the enemy is going to be coming. V'hikshiv Keshev, and he'll listen intently. Rav Keshev, there'll be a lot to hear. He'll hear the noise, the commotion of the war. V'yikra Aryeh, and then he'll call out like a lion. Rashi says, Aryeh in Gematria is 216. If you add up the letters, the Aleph 1, 200, the Yud is 10. And hey, Aryeh in Gematria is the same as Chavakuk. Vayikra Aryeh, and here Chavakuk is called the lion. The Novi is going to roar, and he's going to say, you know, I've been waiting. Finally, I see the destruction. Al Mitzbeh Hashem, I've been standing on the lookout. Hashem, Anochi Omei Tamid, Vayikra Aryeh. There's different ways of phrasing the psukim. Some learn Vayikra Aryeh, Chavakuk calls out, Al Mitzbeh Hashem, by the lookout Hashem, Anochi Omei Tamid, I've always been standing Yomam by day. Val Mishmarti, and by my watch, Anochi Nitzav Kol Halelos, I've been standing all the nights. I've been waiting for this. And looking forward for the destruction of Bovel and the Geula of Klal Yisrael. And others learn Vayikra Aryeh. He calls out, the watchman calls out. If this was the watchman set up by Bovel looking for the enemy, and the enemy sees Paras and Modai coming, and he says, Vayikra Aryeh, he calls on, he says, I see someone like a lion coming. I see Paras and Modai coming. And there was the chariot of the donkey, the chariot of the camel. It could mean also just, there's many different types of animals that this army has, different types of weapons. And he calls on, he says, they're here. I'm standing, and the Novi says, Vayikra Aryeh al mitzvah, when the lion calls out by the lookout, and he sees that Paras Modei are coming. Now Yeshaya says, Hashem Anochi Omei Tamid Yomam, I've been standing constantly by day, V'amishmarti Anochi Nitzav Kol HaLeilos, and I've been standing by the watch at night, I've been waiting for this. V'hinei Zeh Barechev Ish, and now all of a sudden, there's a chariot with a human, with a man on it. Semed Paroshim is a pair of horsemen. Vayan Vayomer. And he responds, the Malach who is speaking to Yeshaya responds and says, Nufla, Nufla, Bavel. Bavel has fallen. It could be a double expression. They've fallen in the hands of Paras and Modai. Nufla, and a year later they're going to fall again, and this land will be destroyed. And all of their avodah zarah, all of their idols, their gods, are shattered on the ground. Medushasi uvengorni, like medushasi, what I thresh, the grain that I thresh. Uvengorni, that's from the threshing floor. Asher shamati mi'eis Hashem tzvokos, what I've heard from Hashem tzvokos, Elokei Yisrael, who's the God of Klal Yisrael and protects Klal Yisrael. He got it tilachem. That's what I've told you now. That Bavel will be destroyed and threshed. And I've now told you the Nevuah of how Bavel will be destroyed. So even though the Nevuah is before discuss how, we discussed Bavel before, how the destruction of Bavel brought a relief to the world, this Nevuah discusses how the Novi sees that finally Bavel is getting their punishment, and exactly how he experiences the nations of Paras and Modai returning after Belshazzar is killed and conquering the land and becoming the new empire. We'll stop here. Mirtz Hashem, that it's the same Parak Chaf Aleph, but it's a Nevuah about a different country.
Right. Okay. Okay.